With the rising sun the next morning, they began again. They searched the last area of debris, and it was empty.
Fireblast! What the fuck happened to him? He can't have just vanished. Maybe he was thrown beyond us.
How could that have happened? For Gaia's sake, Ryan, look around you. Where else could he have been? There is nowhere else.
Ryan turned slowly 360 degrees. Beyond the circumference of the debris, there was nothing except flat, dust bowl earth. Nowhere the JB could be hidden, dead or alive.
We're here, all of us. We got thrown out. JB must have been too. He can't have been left in there.
Ryan, it was a maze down there. It's incredible that we all ended up in the same place. We could have been swept down any number of tunnels that didn't immediately cave in. JB might still be down there.
I can't leave it at that.
They divided into two parties, Doc joining Mildred and Jack. They started to search the immediate area, moving out in a spiral to cover as much ground as possible. It was a short, bitter search. All the while, they knew it was useless. But they couldn't rest until at least the token effort had been made, no matter how hopeless. Eventually, they could search no more. They were low on supplies and water, and they had to move on.
JB's gone. I guess we have to say that now. We could stick around and keep looking, but where? As far as I can see, this goddamn flatland is giving us nothing. It's kept him down there, in a rock grave.
No one else spoke. There was really nothing to say.
It seems real weird having no body to bury. Nothing to speak over. But I guess that shouldn't stop me saying something. If he's gone, then he deserves a send-off. I've known JB a long, long time. He seemed a strange kind of man when I first met him. I never met anyone who knew so much about one thing and was so intense about it. When I joined Trader, people talked about JB in a funny way. He didn't have many enemies, but he didn't have many friends either. He was a difficult man to get to know, but I did. And a better man I've yet to meet. Always at your back, always by your side. I'll never meet anyone like him again. That's all, I guess.
He turned away. The truth was, Ryan Cotter had just lost a part of himself, a friend and an ally.
Okay. We've done what we had to do. Now we need to get the hell out of here. There's nothing for us around here, and it's been a while, so I figure we should give this up as lost and head back to the redoubt. Maybe we can jump to someplace better than this.
You sure about this, Ryan? We haven't rested well since we were thrown out of the caves, and we're dehydrated. Are you sure we should jump?
The chances of finding a vill quickly are slim, Mildred. We can get some water at the redoubt. The water recycling was working okay a few days ago, right? We've jumped in worse states than this. It's our best option.
You're the boss.
Taking their position from the time and placement of the sun, they struck out. It was another grim day. Each step seemed like an effort. They had lost one of their number, and things would never be the same. Others had come and gone, but JB was different. The light was failing when they reached the redoubt. There was no sign of life. Ryan found the hidden keypad. They wearily entered the redoubt and made their way down the tunnel. It was still empty, deserted for decades, which was why it struck Jack so hard. Something just out of the corner of his eye didn't seem right. He looked again.
Ryan, wait. Look.
Ryan's eye followed the direction Jack indicated. There, on the floor and partially up the wall, was a smear of blood with a small pool gathered beneath. It was still wet.
Shit. Someone else here?
Ryan spun. There had been no sign of anyone approaching the redoubt from the outside. Ryan slipped the Steyr from his shoulder, gripping it in one hand, while he drew the Sig Sauer and checked its status. Fully loaded.
Triple red, people. We got company.
Snapping out of their torpor, they had guns in hand. It was a mystery how someone else came to be in the redoubt, but a mystery that was completely unimportant right now. All that mattered was locating the intruder, before the intruder located them.
Keep together. Line out and stay hard.
Stringing out in a line, with Jack taking JB's usual position, they began to make their way down into the lower levels of the redoubt. They cleared each room, lining the corridor, before progressing onward. When they reached a junction, Ryan was first across, checking the corridor on the left. Ryan's momentum carried him forward into a firing range.
Fire blast!
It took all his strength to reverse his center of balance and pull back as large caliber rounds pitted the walls. Ryan returned fire. Mildred joined in.
Incoming!
Jack snapped off a couple of shells from his .357 Magnum Colt Python as rifle fire started to pepper them from behind.
How the fuck?
The only way would have been if the shooters had used the ventilation shafts, which meant that whoever they were up against had a working knowledge of the redoubt. Those firing on them from behind kept in cover, making return fire pointless. The companions couldn't turn left or right for fear they'd walk into a hail of fire. Their only chance was to head straight across and reach the end of the corridor, where it doglegged to the right. Jack kept the rear covered while Ryan and Doc took the first run. On a count of three, they flung themselves across the junction, Ryan firing to his left with the Sig Sauer, while Doc was ready with his Lamar. Although running for over 100 yards exposed had left them open to fire from the rear. When Ryan and Doc were over, Mildred and Christy followed, with Jack between them, moving backward rapidly. Once across, Ryan headed rapidly for the dogleg, while the others covered the rear from the follow-up attacks. Ryan skidded to a halt as the corridor turned, and used the Steyr to draw any fire before risking a glance around the corner. It was clear. He beckoned to the others, and they followed. They ran down the dogleg to the next level of the redoubt, only to find that their way was blocked by a closed sec door.
Fuck it. They must know the codes to get that down. This door was up when we left.
Who the hell are these people?
People who know what they're doing, my good woman. You do realize that with a minimum of firing, and without showing themselves at all, they've forced us into a corner. And damned easily at that.
You're right, Doc. We've let them run the play.
No time for recriminations, lover. We've got to get ourselves out of this before we have the luxury to do that.
Yeah, but how? We don't know how many of them there are or where they're coming from. We've got our backs to a wall that could lift at any moment, and we can't lift it unless we want to expose ourselves.
Ryan thought fast. There were two rooms on this leg of the corridor, both open and empty. Right now, cover was important. Even though he had a suspicion that this was what the enemy, whoever it was, had been directing him to, he still figured that they had to enter one of the rooms. Jack kept watch while they built a barricade.
I don't get it. Why didn't they take us out when they had the chance? Why are they driving us into this?
Perhaps, my dear, they wish to take us alive. This would be the best way. Force us here and then sit it out until we cannot go on.
But why wouldn't they figure we'd come out blasting? Don't they think we'd risk buying the farm?
Duck smiled sadly.
We might, but that doesn't increase their risk, does it? If we get chilled, we get chilled. This is, however, their best way of taking us alive with the minimum of risk to themselves.
They're here.
The companions took cover, their guns at the ready. Shapes flitted past the doorway to take positions on the far side, and the companions fired. From around the door, fire rained in on them.
We have to take them head-on. Otherwise, we're chilled meat.
The companions reloaded, ignoring the hail of fire around them as it pitted the walls with gaping holes of gouged-out concrete. They readied themselves for the attack. It was an almost suicidal charge. They didn't have the stomach to sit it out and wait for death to come to them.
Get ready.
Nothing made much sense to JB as he lay in a pool of water, a stream gently trickling around him. Every muscle felt as if it had been torn, every bone fractured. He had no idea where he was, and only a few vague memories of how he'd gotten there. He had been in a tunnel, and he vaguely recalled something to do with dogs attacking him. Then the walls had caved in on him, and he remembered the crushing pain. And then things went really crazy. It seemed as if some force had turned the world upside down. He could remember the sensation of being propelled forward. He was tossed around like a branch in a dust storm, hitting the sides of the tunnel that was crumbling around him as he felt himself fall. He'd hit his head again, and had the idea that he was blacking out and coming to over and over again. But all he knew was that he had kept falling down until finally he hit water. JB found himself struggling not to breathe, not to drag water into his lungs, as his descent slowed until he hit the floor of the river and pushed up. He had no idea which direction he was going in, only that he had to try to keep his head up and breathe in only when he could suck air into his lungs. His lungs were going to burst soon if he didn't get above water and take another breath. Anything would be better than the awful burning in his chest. JB relaxed, prepared to meet his end. He exhaled and slipped blissfully out of consciousness. Now, JB felt around him with his fingertips. It was muddy soil, slimy with a layer of water about 2 inches deep all around him. He could feel the water moving slowly past him in a trickle. It had to be dark where he was, as no great source of light penetrated his eyelids. His legs felt particularly leaden. He flexed his calf and thigh muscles. JB stopped moving immediately, grateful for the sudden cessation of pain. He steeled himself and tried again. He could tell that his legs were trapped from mid-thigh down, and from the give, he knew that it wasn't rock containing him, but mud. JB sank back into unconsciousness once more.
For fuck's sake, Sam, I don't see what the problem is here. Damn it, can't Silborg or Denning see to their own problems?
Calm down, you're starting to really bug the shit out of me.
The tall, broad-shouldered man called Sim cuffed his companion on the ear.
Yeah.
It wasn't meant with any malice, but despite his advancing years and graying beard and ponytail, Sim was still a strong man. The blow stung, making Hafler wince.
For fuck's sake, watch what you're doing.
Hafler was smaller, skinnier, and younger than Sim. He had a sharp, pointed face, and his hair was cropped back apart from a thin Mohican stripe along the top of his skull. Both men were dressed in coarse linen trousers, plaid woolen shirts, and heavy working boots. Both had spent the day in their own sector, repairing and unblocking wells that had been damaged in the recent quake. Only now, as a favor to Denning and Silborg, who had more damage in their sector to the south than the other three areas put together, Hafler and Sim were attending to the last well that was failing to bleed water into the storage tanks. It was hard enough keeping the Ville watered as it was, without the wells blocking up from earth shifts. This well was the most isolated, and as it was closest to the quake, the most likely to be badly damaged. Hafler was sure that this was why Silborg had asked them to take it on. The man would do anything to avoid work. The two men could see the well from several hundred yards away. Its lip was built up to a height of 4 feet from old brick and concrete built into a round wall. The wall kept out any small animals, stopping them from falling down and blocking the well. There had always been a few quakes, as the land was unstable, but never anything like yesterday's. The damage had been widespread. The men neared the lip of the well.
You want to go down? Give me a report.
What are you asking me for, Sim? You know an old fuck like you ain't going down there when you can get someone younger to do it.
How'd you guess?
As they approached the lip, Hafler began to climb up, sitting astride the top. He held out his hand, and Sim handed him a rope that he tied around his waist. Then he held out his hand again, and the big man handed him a flashlight. Still without a word, Hafler solemnly tested it.
Well, shit. It was okay half an hour ago.
Yeah, I know. Never know when these batteries will fuck up.
Sim tied the rope around his own waist and braced himself.
Just go on and get your ass down there, will you?
Okay, just don't even pretend that you're letting me fall, right?
Now, would I do that?
That's what you said last time!
Stooping, Sim picked up the excess coils of rope, playing them out as the thin man descended down the well. If there were repairs to be done, then they would have to go and get a wag with the proper materials. If it was a blockage, then Sim would pitch the rope and join Hafler at the bottom to clear the obstruction. Hafler descended at an even speed, clutching the rope with one hand and using the other to play the flashbeam around the walls. This was one of the deepest wells, and he started to feel closed in as the circle of sky above him grew smaller. His boots dug into the walls of the well. Sweat ran down his brow and spangled his top lip as he tried not to think about the walls collapsing in on him. The beam of the flashlight swept lower as he descended.
No sign of any collapse or instability yet.
It seemed as though this well had stood up to the quake much better than any of the others they had attended to.
What the hell could be blocking it?
The closer he got to the bottom, the more Hafler was sure that there actually was a problem with this well. Something was stopping the water from flowing. It was too deep to spend too much time down here moving mud and unstable earth with any kind of comfort. Hafler played the torch toward the base of the well, expecting to see a pile of mud and rock that needed digging out. The last thing he expected was to see a man, covered in mud, blood, and bruises, laying across the channel.
What the fuck?
Hafler tugged the rope urgently. Sim put his head over the top, causing the rope to give and Hafler to jerk downward.
Whoa, shit, watch it!
What's the problem? Kinda scary in the dark, is it?
Quit fucking around! Look at this!
Hafler played the beam down again until it shone across the prone form of J.B. Dix.
Shit! How the hell did he get there? Come to think of it, who is he? You don't look familiar to me.
You know what? I don't care if he's your fucking cousin. He's the block in the well, and we need to get him out.
Sure, we can't just leave him there.
Yeah, right. And have Xander ask us why the water's dried up or why it's diseased when this fucker rots?
Yeah, I guess so. Tell you what, I'll let you all the way down, and you tie the rope around him and clear that mud jam around his legs while I pull him up.
Great plan.
Sim lowered Hafler down until the small man was standing in a shallow stream. There was barely room to stand beside the prone body, and it was hard for Hafler to untie the rope, squat, and tie it around the limp body in the confined space.
Holy shit! Take him up! Hey, guess what? The fucker's alive!
Hafler flattened himself to the side of the well, while the body, jerking, was tugged past him. He had the flashlight fixed into his belt, shining downward, and the light from above was blocked by the prone figure, which kept bumping into the walls.
Careful, you old fuck! You'll bring the whole damn thing down on me!
The water was running more freely now. Hafler set to work clearing the obstruction and shoring it up with the slabs of rock, dislodged by the arrival of JB, that had been used to form a channel in and out of the well, the smaller channel being on the outward flow, acting as a dam to build the water level. While he worked, Hafler tried not to think about the fact that he was at the bottom of the well, without any lifeline to the land above.